morning, as we come to a conclusion of the Epistle to the Philippians, wonderful epistle indeed, our text this morning will be found in Philippians 4, 20 to 23. And as we conclude, we'll begin reading at verse 13. Let's give our diligent attention to this reading of God's holy, infallible, and perfect word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Let us pray. O gracious Heavenly Father, we pray now, Lord, as your word is proclaimed, I pray that I may disappear completely and that the Lord Jesus Christ may be high and lifted up, that he may draw all men unto himself. O gracious Father, open our hearts and our minds to be fed from your word. Feed us, Lord. And Father, may your word come forth in a demonstration of your spirit and power. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we conclude our exposition of Philippians, we come to the end, and there's a couple of things that should be very familiar to you as you consider the worship services that we have here at Mount Carmel. As we're going to be looking at verse 20, verse 20 is what we call a doxology. The same thing that we praise God after we give our tithes and offerings is a doxology to God, and we're going to look at that and explain what it means and how it's a great blessing and honor that we're able to do that and praise God in that way. And also, we're going to be talking about greeting. Although our little greeting times during the service may last perhaps a little longer than they ought, greeting one another is a very important part of fellowship and serving God. And we're going to talk about what that means. And of course, we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a benediction there at the end, that God be with us in his gracious Son. Now, as we come to this doxology in verse 20, we need to remember what Paul has already said. Paul tells the Philippians that he rejoices in the Lord that they sent him care. And he says not that it's about having things, because he's learned the secret of contentment, that no matter what is happening to me in my life or what's going on in my life, I've learned to be content whether I'm full or whether I'm hungry. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Unless the Philippians, or even we, misunderstand what that means, he says, nevertheless, it was good that you sent me aid. It was right that you sent me aid. Not that it was about you sending me stuff, but rather the fruit of a life lived for the glory of God. Right? Paul has spent Philippians and written in Philippians that it's about loving those that are our neighbors and our brothers and sisters in Christ better than ourselves, thinking more highly of others than ourselves, and unity with one another. And he's going to close out the epistle, and we're going to learn this morning that doxology flows spontaneously from Christians who live by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that under two main points. First, Christians and doxology. And then second, Christians and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So first, Christians and doxology. Let's read verse 20 and 21 again. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. This spontaneous doxology, this praise of God comes from a heart, as we've already said, that knows what it means to say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who knows what it means to be content in whatever station God has placed you. You see, the secret that Paul has learned is that God is sovereign and that God is powerful. He has all things in control. So if God loves him and has saved him in Christ Jesus, whatever situation he's in is not by happenstance. It's not by chance, but by the sovereign hand of God. And if it's by the sovereign hand of God and God has given us all things in Christ Jesus, then God has placed me there and He's going to have a way of escape so that I don't fall into sin, and He's going to maintain me no matter what I go through. And thus, the Apostle Paul can be content. He can be content no matter what or where he is in his life. Remember, the Apostle Paul writes this from a first century prison cell, from first century prison, not from the nice nowadays. Some of the prisons can be even nicer than some of our homes. But back then, remember, there was no quality control. Torture meant torture. Prison meant prison. Okay, and although in God's wonderful mercy, we learn at the end of Acts that Paul's under house arrest, he's still under arrest. It's not like now, right? They have these little things they'll put on your leg and you can go around freely. No, house arrest meant Paul ain't leaving the house. Okay, and many of us would not be joyful in that circumstance. Many of us would not be glad in God and say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's the power of God in Paul that he knows that God is true. And he knows that God loves him and that God has saved him in Christ Jesus. And thus Paul has learned what it means to be content. You see, in thinking of that, the Apostle Paul praises God and praises the Philippians, God through the Philippians for using them to send him a gift so that they could care for his needs. And that's when he breaks out into this wonderful doxology that we have there in verse 20. That he says, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Praise be to God. God is the one who's doing this. Yes, he's using the Philippians, but it's God who's in control of all things. It's God that gives Paul the ability to live life in the midst of such struggles for God's glory, to be joyful so that throughout Philippians, he constantly says, rejoice. And I say, again, rejoice. Rejoice. Remember, joy, rejoicing is not about happy. Happy is more circumstantial, right? When we say, oh, I'm happy. Sometimes we're not happy, are we? But you see, when you're in Christ Jesus, you can rejoice because no matter what, as we said, if God is sovereign, he's going to see you through it. He's going to equip you. And that also involves us seeking God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. You're not going to just have joy. You see, you're going to have to, by God's grace, work it out. Work it out and seek joy and be in God's word and be about caring for God's people. And thus, the doxology that flows from the Apostle Paul's heart ought to be a doxology that you don't only do on Sunday. How many times do you see Christians perhaps doing doxologies in their lives? Perhaps sometimes we can turn it into a mantra, right? Oh, I praise God for this. Or I praise God for this. We ought to praise God for everything. Don't misunderstand me. But it has to be conscious. It has to be truly from the heart. And the same thing, we're going to deal with greeting. How many hands have you shaken in this church and not even cared what they're going through, how God is blessing them? Are they even a Christian? When Paul talks about greeting, he's not talking about simply shaking hands. He's talking about loving one another, caring for one another, being in one of those in lives without being a busybody, right? The Bible is the Word of God. It knows that certain people are busybodies. We all are left to ourselves. But the Scriptures don't call us to be busybodies, but calls us to love our neighbor like ourselves and to even care and think of them more highly than ourselves, which is counterintuitive to our sinful natures. And thus, because of this great God who enables us to live this way, Paul breaks out in doxology. So when we sing that doxology, it shouldn't only be on Sunday, but it should be powerful. We should be ready after we've given ourselves. Perhaps you're thinking, oh man, they asked for money again. I gotta give my tithes, I gotta give my offerings, and begrudgingly giving to God. If you're trusting God, if God's work is being done here, we should be grateful. Not only in tithes and givings, but in all of our lives. That this should characterize your life. Now let me say this, believers. If doxology doesn't characterize your life, you need to evaluate yourself before the bar of God's word. Not merely pastor's words, but God's word. Why are you not praising God? Why are you not thankful? Well, because I lost this, I'm hurting here, God hasn't answered this question. But you see, you're living as if God were your genie. And as we've said many times, God is not your genie. God is the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of all things, and the savior of his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is true. And he's true to his promises. And his promises are not that your life will be okay and nothing will ever happen bad, but rather, no matter what, you can be like Paul and be content in every situation. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's the promise. That's the promise. And thus, when doxologies don't flow from our hearts, right, it's usually because we're indulging ourselves in selfishness, right? Me, 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 me. Mine, 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 mine. And God doesn't call us to live such lives, but rather selfless lives in the same way Christ Jesus, who is the ultimate example, as we learn here in Philippians, of sacrifice. Not that he stopped being God. He cannot stop being God, but rather he took on the form of a servant. He lived in poverty. He knows what it is to be slapped in the face. If one just consider, if you're slapped in the face, right, what's going to be your first reaction? Most of us, we're going to slap back, or, you know, we're not going to just stand there and take it. Can you imagine if you were God and somebody slapped you in the face? Imagine if you were God and somebody spit on you for something that you didn't even do. Remember, when Christ gets spat on and slapped and all the things he suffered for you, Christian. For you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have proclaimed your faith in Him and trusted in Him for salvation in Him alone. That didn't happen to Him because of anything He did, but rather, He was suffering for the sins of His people. And thus, doxology ought to characterize us. We ought to be a grateful people and a people that praises God. You see, that's why we come to church on Sunday. Now, right, every day you ought to be praising God. But when we come to service on Sunday morning corporately, we can come together as the body of Christ, as a small manifestation. When you get to heaven, my friends, heaven, you're not going to have your own individual condo and never see anybody. Okay? You're going to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, men, women, children that God has saved from every walk of life, from every nation, from every economical situation, from every country, everything. The great God and King. Yes, salvation's a personal thing, but it's a corporate thing as well, because God, Christ Jesus, came to die for you specifically, if you believe in Him, and for all His people. You see, and because He's God, He can die for all of us, and He can keep us, and He can maintain us, and He loves us forever. And thus, we see why glorifying God and coming to worship together, this should characterize you. Why wouldn't you want to come and worship God together? And hear His word preach. Well, because you still deal with sin, right? You're saying that there's a spiritual battle. And that's why you have to be in the word. That's why you have to be about prayer. That's why you need your brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can also have some accountability with one another. It talks about asking for each other for forgiveness. So that we can be the light of the world, right? If you have a light, you don't put it under a bushel. You put it on a lampstand so that it can be seen. So that you can provide light to the world. And it's in this context of this doxology, this praising of God for who He is forever and ever and giving glory to Him that the Apostle Paul goes into greeting every saint. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. One of the most difficult things that I've had to deal with here at Mount Carmel and would have to deal with in any church is the idea of really trying to incorporate into the church life, the idea of really caring for one another. Right? Because it's such a fine line. We tend to think of somebody, for instance, if pastor calls you every time you miss service, you might think of that as pastor is a little bit of a stalker. Oh no, maybe I ought not to call you every time, but the idea that pastor ought to be caring where the people are, caring how things are going in your spiritual life, is important. It has to be a balance. But the idea that pastor does better not talk to me on any other day than Sunday is the opposite problem, right? And it's not simply pastors, one another. Now God knows, right? He's placed us in wherever we live, in whatever job context or school context and family context. We don't have to be with each other 24/7. We can wait to heaven for that. But we should be caring about one another, and we should be praying for one another by name. Pastor, I don't know all the names. You know what? I finally learned all the names. We need to start praying for each other by name. We need to go out and learn one another's names so we can praise God and learn one another's testimony of the grace of God in our lives. So when Paul says greeting, it's not a nicety, right? Socially polite. Make sure you say hi to everyone. No. It's about loving one another. Yes, it is about greeting one another, literally. But it's also about caring for one. Paul has already told us here in Philippians, right? That we ought to be characterized by one mind, caring for one another, thinking of others more highly than ourselves. And the greeting is just a manifestation, like a fruit, right? A fruit of that caring and loving one another. We ought to be caring for one another. You see, a life that's lived for God and for praising God and for loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves will seek, will struggle to do that, right? Not all of us have the same temperament. Some of us are shy. Some of us are obnoxious. Some of us are in the middle, right? But we all have Christ Jesus if we proclaim His name and believe in Him. We have one another. We need to care for one another. We need to love one another as an example, as fruits of God's love in the midst of His people. We ought to care. Now, we've explained this before, and it's important that we remember this. God knows, and God is in control of everything. He doesn't expect you to be worried about everything in the world and that you have to make sure you support every single missionary, every single church. No. God has His people, and they are to care for one another. But you are responsible for where you are. You're responsible for your vows that you made before God if you joined the church. You are responsible for your marriage. You're responsible for your actions and reactions and the way you live your life. We spend our time way too much concerned about how other people are doing things and not enough about how we are serving God. And that's very important for us to realize so that we can learn to love our neighbors. Loving our neighbors and thinking more highly of them is not for us to tell them how to live their lives from our whims, but rather all of us seeking to be conformed to the Word of the living God. Now, you see, none of this is possible left to ourselves. And this is our second point. Christians and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't expect you to do this of yourself. He knows you won't. But rather, He is a gracious God who gives you grace in Christ Jesus. Let's read verses 22 and 23 again. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. And we see here that this type of living is not possible. If I simply told you to live this way without the strength and without the grace of God, I wouldn't come to Mount Carmel anymore. Because nobody lives like this on their own, right? But there is grace. And there is a God, and there is Christ Jesus who died for your sins and who was raised from the dead and who sits at the right hand of the Father and who intercedes for you. And so there's grace, there's power, and it's His power that works in you. He's given you His Holy Spirit so that you can be people who are holy, seeking God's way, loving others more, and thinking of others more highly than yourselves. There's power in the grace of God. But let's not use grace as an excuse or a crutch to live however we want as long as we say the right things. Because God is concerned with how we live our lives. In the same way the Apostle Paul wanted to see fruit, God is concerned to see fruits in our lives. You see, because when fruit is produced in our lives, God is glorified. They see your good works and they praise you. No, they praise the Father in heaven. God is glorified. Now, we saw it in our first point, we dealt with the beginning, greet every saint. And here the Apostle Paul says all the saints who are with him or where he's at in Rome, greet them back. And he says, especially those who are Caesar's household. Now, this is very significant because we got to realize that as corrupt some governments are and even as imperfect as our government is, you've got to imagine the setting of being a believer in Caesar's household. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that it was Caesar's family, but Caesar's household in the midst of a man of men, Caesars, several of whom claim to be God. As wicked as many men are out there, most of them don't claim to be God, although occasionally we do find some of them in some nations. But this man claimed to be God, and it was basically you had to worship all different gods. You can't have one view of God. And to be a believer in the midst of that shows forth the power of God. That no wicked government, that no evil intentions of men can keep God's people from worshiping Him in whatever circumstances God placed them. So it's very significant that we see that there are believers in Caesar's household who send their regards to the Philippians. Now, if we just think back, now this is a little bit of conjecture, right? We don't know this for sure, but think about this. The Apostle Paul is sent to prison there in Rome. He's preaching the gospel, and then we heard earlier that the guard, the prison guard, right, are knowing the gospel. They've heard the gospel. So it tends to point to the fact that perhaps it was through the ministry of Paul himself that the word of God got into Caesar's household, and that Caesar cannot hold back the word of God. In the same way, nothing can hold the Word of God. The Word of God will go forth. Pastor Rodriguez has nothing to do with politics other than praying for his government. But this tends to be heard. This is what I want to say. This is what I want to encourage you. If you are in government and as corrupt as governments can be, this shows forth that no matter how corrupt, you can be faithful to God and you can worship God even in such circumstances. If God can have his people worship him in the midst of such wickedness as Caesar's household, we can worship God in whatever government we may serve here now. And of course, any living that we have, any calling, any profession that God has blessed us with, in the midst of such evil, we can still worship our great God and King. Now, these last words, this benediction, is absolutely imperative as we talk of the grace of God, that we understand what it means. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That means that you have done nothing to earn. Nothing. Not even neutral, right? Rather, you've done everything not to get God's grace. You see, to sin, one sin is to be condemned by the holy, all-powerful, all-knowing God. But grace is that while we were yet sinners, Paul tells us in Romans, Christ came to die for us. That's grace. And it's that grace in the Lord, our Lord. Notice earlier in verse 20, he says, our God and Father. Here he says, our Lord, personalizing God. God is a personal God who speaks to us in his word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It is he, once again, we said, who enables us to live this type of life, to be a people of doxology in the midst of pain and difficulties and sin, and our own sin. Don't be fooled, Church of God. It's not like sin is out there. You got to deal with sin in here. Got to deal with sin in here. But the greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and even the sin that's left in our lives. God is greater. God is able. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember, that doesn't mean that we can go out in the parking lot and start picking up cars, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But rather, in whatever circumstances I live, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be faithful to God. I can learn to not be a gossip and a busybody, and rather think of others more highly than myself, and to obey God's word, and to be in the midst of God's people, and to keep his whole Sunday, the Lord's Day, holy, to give him one day in seven that he calls for in his word. To be a faithful husband. And to love my wife as God, as Christ loved the church. Wait a minute. If Christ loved the church even though she sinned, in fact, he died for her as sinners, then that means I have to love my wife regardless of her difficulties, regardless of how she acts. I gotta love her. Well, Pastor, I don't know any man that can do that. You're right. That's why it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. That I can do all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same thing with you, women, our beautiful women of Christ's church. You can be submissive for the glory of God. And you can obey God's word and follow your husbands and be an example. And be an example to younger women as they grow up so that they can be faithful mothers and wives and women in whatever calling God has called them for. And you, children, can be faithful children. You can honor your father and mother. That you can know that it's not right to speak disrespectfully to your parents. You can know that it's not right to treat them as if they're your equal. They're your superior. They're your parents. Your father and your mother. And you respect them. And God tells us that there's a promise that our lives will be long, be prosperous if we obey our parents. And all of us have to do with God, and all of us have this grace of Lord Jesus Christ if we're found in Christ Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Be with you. Work in your life so that you can learn the secret of contentment, so that you can work out your salvation with fear and trembling, so that you can know that He who began a good work in you will complete it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we've said this before, that Philippians wasn't exposited the way we exposit it nowadays, right? And break it down and break down the chapters and the verses. They read one letter. And they got all of this at one time. And we see the connections there. We see that all these things that the Apostle Paul was saying to the Philippians, we're told, is the Word of the living God. And that's why it's for our instruction. So that we can go and do because God has done. First and foremost, we need to know that God has done. That's why it's the grace of you being good? No. The grace of you letting God save you? No. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God came to save you because you couldn't save yourself. God came to save you because you were dead in your sins and trespasses. That's why God sent His Son to do what no one could do. Live a holy life and die for sins and pay for sins. God doesn't simply overlook sins. God had Christ Jesus die for your sins because God is holy. And that's why holiness is not to be trifled with. That's why it's ridiculous to think that you're saved by God's grace and yet you can live your life however you want. And think that there's no obligation to you. Yes, it's free grace. It's free grace that saves you. And because God has saved you, He saved you to be conformed to the image of Christ. And what did Christ do? He did the will of the Father. And it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we praise God and we're able to praise God. And we can all say that we love Jesus and we know what He says, right? If you love me, write me a nice letter. No. If you love me, you'll wear shirts that you say you love. No, no, no. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But Pastor, I can't. You can't. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But Pastor's heart, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But Pastor, it seems like God who began a good work in you, He will complete it to the day of redemption. There is no answer. God can do all things. And it is God who's working in you. And it is God who's going to enable you to live faithfully for Him and to glorify Him. And thus we see this morning, and we are called from God's Word. Let us praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let us greet one another in Christ Jesus, as in union with Christ, that we can love. I love you not because you did anything for me, but because God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And let us live by the grace of Jesus Christ, not simply talk about it, not simply think about it, but live because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Holy Father, we thank You for Your Word. Apply it to our hearts. May Christ Jesus reign in our lives. In His name we pray. Amen.